You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked on the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Paddock with the Dallas Morning News. Here today, we've got some actual Rangers news, some baseball news in general, some real things have gone down, signings to be analyzed. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. So let's get into the actual most important news first. The Rangers have brought him home. The Rangers have signed Delino DeShields to a one-year minor league deal with an invite to spring training. They've also signed Sam Caviglio, who is a right-handed pitcher who has pitched mostly in Toronto. We'll get to him in a second. But Delino comes back after spending a year in Cleveland after being traded for Corey Kluber in probably the weirdest Rangers trade of the last five, maybe even 10 years. Definitely the most confusing in a trade that looked like it was going to be a slam dunk win for the Rangers. Ended up being a lost trade for the Rangers, lost trade for Delino DeShields, and kind of lost for the Cleveland baseball team. It just kind of sucked all around for everybody because things didn't go well for Delino DeShields. Age 27 season in Cleveland did not go super well. He played 37 games. That's 120 plate appearances. Took a slash line of 252, 310, and slugging percentage of 318. That is a 628 OPS, which is not really what you're looking for. Stolen bases were way down, even percentage-wise, on how well he was stealing bases. He had three stolen bases, two caught stealing twice, walked nine times, struck out 29. Things just did not work out super well in Cleveland. Did not get any home runs, and just didn't make much of an impact at all. He had exactly zero WAR according to Baseball Reference. Did have a positive 0.1 WAR defensively, exactly league average offensively. But yeah, not much going there for him. It's great to have him back. The Rangers are very happy to have him back. And I know the beat writers have tweeted about being excited about him coming back as well. His teammates, Joey Gallo and Willie Calhoun, and I believe Ronald Guzman also have all posted on social media how excited they are to bring him home. And this is something that's going to be good for Leody Taveras. It seemed like he was going to be the unchallenged starting center fielder for the Rangers next season, but even though Delino probably isn't going to be the starting center fielder for the Rangers next year, I do believe he's going to make the opening day roster, and he's going to give some real challenge to Leody Taveras, which is something that he needs. It's going to help him not just be gifted the job, because that doesn't always go well when you just hand somebody the job and say, all right, there's no competition, there's no reason for you to improve or try and be better or work your butt off or be a little looking over your shoulder and worried. But he's going to get that now with Delino DeShields coming into camp with the Rangers. So good on him. Welcome back, Delino. We missed you, and we're very glad that you're back. Now, the other pitcher, the other player that they had signed to a minor league deal is Sam Caviglio. He is a right-handed pitcher listed at 6'1", 215 pounds. He is 30 years old from Ashland, Oregon. He was a former fifth-round pick by the St. Louis Cardinals in 2011 out of Oregon State. He has played in the big leagues since 2017. He's been in the major leagues at some capacity in all of those seasons. Now he's been splitting time between coming out of the bullpen, which he was for the last two seasons in Toronto. And he also has made 37 starts in his 98 total games. So let's go through what he did in Toronto to get a look at what he is as a player. He pitched in 26 games that year. 24 of those were starts. That was 123 innings. He struck out 105, had an ERA of 5.31, so not super great, and he's not anything too fantastic. Pretty good with walks that year, 2.8 walks per nine innings. Strikeouts, not so much, 7.6 per nine innings. Just kind of a nothing meh guy. I mean, not that he's a nothing guy, but he's not really a game changer. He pitched in 95 innings in 2019 as a 29-year-old at a 4.61 ERA. That was 52 games, and he finished nine of those. So kind of a long bulk innings reliever, kind of guy. Didn't pitch all that much in 2020 as a 30-year-old with the Toronto Blue Jays as well. Four games, one of those was a game finished, had a 9 ERA in 3 innings, so really not much to work off there. But has been just mostly fine, mostly a depth signing. And, you know, sometimes those are fine. Sometimes that's all you really need. But it is good to have some competition. Good to have Delino DeShields back. Don't have any other strong opinions on that. Also, today, the Rangers, this is Tuesday as I'm recording it. So on Tuesday, the Rangers have signed right-handed pitcher Spencer Patton to a 2021 minor league contract with a spring training invitation. Patton spent the last 4 seasons in the MPB's Yokohama Bay Stars in Japan, making 57 relief appearances in 2020. He pitched for the Rangers in 2014 and 15, and also the Cubs in 2016. So we got Spencer Patton back. We're reuniting members of the old gang. But that's the news the Rangers have done in the past couple of days. So relatively busy given how the rest of their month of January was. So we're getting pretty close to spring training happening. There was a little kerfuffle with the MLBPA and the MLB. The MLB tried to shorten the season by 6 games, make it 156 games like they did back in Babe Ruth's day. And also, I believe they tried to include a universal DH. And just 2 weeks before everyone's supposed to report for spring training, they're like, hey, what if we delay the start of the season? Yeah, that'll be good. No. The MLBPA said, no, thank you. We're not doing that. And they struck that down. So it's looking like everything is going to start when it's supposed to, as opposed to 3 weeks later with fewer games just because the owners don't want to pay the players their full salaries. And they want to be able to get more people in stands, which I understand, but also don't agree with. You can't just drop this in 2 weeks before everything is supposed to go down. That's not how this works. And also, they had no real good reasoning outside of the other reasons that have already existed and they already kind of dealt with as to why to delay the season. So good on MLBPA for saying, hey, nope, this ain't happening. And sorry, Charlie, you're out of luck, ownership. So that's the deal with that. And there's a few other things to take a look at. One big thing that dropped today, Tuesday, as I am recording this, Jeff Passan of ESPN published a very, very long read, kind of documentary style with former Ranger Drew Robinson. He had an extremely dark 2020 and he lost an eye. There's all kinds of harrowing details about what happened with Drew Robinson. He was not in a good place at all. He is in a better place now, which I'm very happy for. I have not yet read the thing. It is very, very well written, knowing Jeff Passan, the bit that I have read. It's very dark and very, very heavy, but it's definitely something that's worth your time. He's a guy who I really, really liked coming up and had been most recently with St. Louis. He's also been with San Francisco. And he has had a really, really rough 2020, but he is bouncing back. He is getting back out there. He's trying to get back into playing professional baseball. So glad you're doing better, Drew Robinson. And I would definitely advise y'all to go and check that out. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit more about some news around baseball, a little about AJ Preller, and look a little bit more into the Nolan Arenado trade and just, you know, get righteously angry about it because, you know, that's what we're entitled to do. So, right after this quick word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar you will ever find. There is not another one that is better for you or tastes better, which is the whole point. You know, why would you want to eat something if it doesn't taste good? And especially if it's not good for you. So there is 6 new amazing flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, all that kind of good stuff. And also, it's just really great for the health conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in an absolutely delicious treat. It's covered in 100% chocolate and it's soft and easy to chew. They're low in calorie, low in sugar, also high in protein, high in fiber, which means they are great for the keto diet. So our listeners, you can go to builtbar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. NFL regular season is almost done. There's just one more football game to be played, and that is the Super Bowl. There's going to be a lot of fun bets there. Also, NBA and NHL are in full swing. There's also college basketball that is in full swing. All kinds of fun bets that you can make there. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for your free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code, like I said, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. So start your day off with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. So let's take a look at what actually went down with Nolan Arenado trade. But first, AJ Preller has a new job, technically the same as the old job, just a few more perks. The Padres have added President of Baseball Operation to AJ Preller's title and extended his contract through 2026. Eric Grubner, also newly extended now through 2026, is the CEO. Preller's previous contract ran through 2022. So before he was just the GM, now he is the President of Baseball Ops and has a four-year extension. Good on him. He has been the best GM in baseball for the last two, 3 years. I mean, the fact that he was able to get El Nino, the most fun, not quite the best, but definitely a top five player in baseball last year, Fernando Tatis Jr., and a trade for James Shields is still incredible. We don't really talk about that enough. Evaluating that talent, developing that talent, and just getting him to succeed at this level while still having the most top 100 prospects in baseball and making the most acquisitions, most aggressive acquisitions, I should say, of anybody in the baseball offseason. Props to him. He absolutely deserves this and all the praise and more. Things were a little rocky at the start, but like we talked about earlier this week, his ability to overcome those mistakes has been really, really impressive and one of the reasons why he's able to thrive so well. So now let's look at the Nolan Arenado trade, the trade that might have broken me the most this offseason. Francisco Lindor trade, I knew that was coming. Good on the Mets for going and making those deals. Also, Yu Darvish kind of surprised me, but good on him for going to a team that likes him, that wants him, that is good and actually cares about winning at baseball. So good on him as well. But this one, it's just so, so frustrating for Rockies fans. And, you know, it's kind of a moment that made me take a step back and think, you know what? Maybe being a Rangers fan isn't the most miserable fandom in baseball. Maybe it's not quite there. You know, we didn't have a guy who has been a top five player in baseball. Definitely the best defensive player in baseball for the last decade, almost every year without fail. A guy who is an offensive force, who makes games worthwhile to watch, even when your team sucks. A guy who may not be the best third baseman ever, but does appreciate Adrian Beltre as the best third baseman of his generation. He's a guy who is a four-time Silver Slugger, eight-time Gold Glove winner, four-time Platinum Glove winner, and five-time All-Star. He is just ridiculously good. The fact that he hasn't won an MVP yet is kind of insane. But I think this trade to the Cardinals, as much as it hurts me that he's getting traded to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals definitely do not deserve anything good ever. You will never catch me saying that they deserve good, nice things ever, because they don't. It might be the thing that he needs to boost him into being an MVP. He's been close quite a bit. He finished eighth in 2015 and then top five from 2016 to 2018, and then 2019 he finished sixth. Didn't finish top 10 in MVP voting somehow last year, even though it was a shortened season. Really did not do well, but somehow the Cardinals are also like not having to pay this entire contract, which isn't actually that bad. It's really not that bad a contract at all. It's just kind of expensive. So here's what the contract looks like. It goes through his age 35 season. It's not like till he's like 50 or something, but it even goes down at the end. So this next year, or in 2020, he was owed $35 million, which is about what it's going to be for the next few years. He can opt out after the 2021 season and gets bonuses for top five MVP votes, other awards, all-star appearances, and gold gloves. He gets that in every single year of the rest of this contract. So in 2021, scheduled to make $35 million, in 2022, $35 million, 23, 35, 35, and 24 as well. Then it goes down to $32 million in 2025. And lastly, $27 million in 2026. So he could be a free agent after his age 30 season this year. I'm assuming he does have a no trade clause in this. And I'm assuming that he could just has given the Cardinals some indication that, hey, I'm not going anywhere. And also the Rangers could have gone and got him after this year if he stayed in Colorado. And I guess the thought was, well, he's probably going to leave anyway. But still, the stones on them to trade this guy for nobody that was even in the Cardinals' top 10 prospects. No one was even there. And we were talking about this trade and discussing it quite a bit last year. There was some heavy speculation. The Rangers were pretty close, and the Rockies were just openly shopping him. They were talking about trading guys like Hans Kraus, Cole Wynn, maybe Josh Jung as well. And just those would be three of your top 10 guys, plus probably somebody who's young and in the big leagues, which you do that. You absolutely do that if you are the Rangers. There's not a question in your mind that would make you, with what they had last year, assuming Corey Kluber could have been healthy and Mike Minor was even like a little bit less crappy version of himself. If you got like a little bit out of the line or Willie Calhoun, like that was the makings of a half decent team. That is a team that could add Todd Frazier as like the one bat that you're adding. Be like, okay, I think we're okay. And you actually might be, but it's just such a weird dynamic and how they fell off so quickly after having some aspirations of not being garbage last year and just how badly they fell. And it's still so frustrating. Even if they were a bad team, even where they were, I don't know if this is the asking price. None of your top 10 prospects, but the Rangers, I believe, have a better farm system than the Cardinals, or it's at least pretty close. They don't quite have the top end talent, but like they have some more depth. And you know, there's no reason the Rangers could not have gotten him at this price. I mean, he talked about how much he liked Adrian Beltre. And I'm sure Beltre would give him the okay, like, hey, go to the Rangers. That would make me very happy. And he could actually go see him and maybe pick his brain a little bit. But, like, it just doesn't make sense. All of these trades for such superstars, it's the most frustrating time to be a fan of a bad team or a mediocre team. Right now, the Rangers are a bad team. They're not mediocre. They're just bad. And it's frustrating to see these star players going to these markets because their ownership is too poor to go pay for somebody, or pretending to be too poor to go pay for somebody, and they just don't care what the return is. Like, just go pick on some bad, dumb GMs with star players that they don't want to pay what they're worth. If you just pay players what they're worth, it shouldn't be that difficult to field a very good team, or at least a decent team. The Cardinals made the playoffs last year, and their offense wasn't that special, but now they add this guy. They've got the corner infielders as Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. Gosh, that's just unreal. The Rangers don't have anything like that. But if you add another bat that's better than Joey Gallo, you can move him down in the order and he doesn't have to feel like the pressure of being the entirety of the offense. That would do wonders for him. It's just so frustrating to see the Rangers so close on this. And I don't know how much they kicked the tires, how close they were, if they just kind of thought that, okay, I guess Colorado's not going to deal him after they didn't deal him before last season. I don't know. The price clearly went down drastically after one bad season in his many, many years of professional baseball. It wasn't even like a horrible season. He was still an elite defender. Like, he's always going to be an elite defender. But because he didn't have a 5 WAR season like he normally has, he's at a season above five, between five and six. Actually, the lowest is 5.9 from a 5-year stretch of 2015 to 2019. His WAR was 6.3, 5.9, 6.6, 5.9, 6.7. Then this year it was 1.6 in, granted, 48 games, and that's 201 plate appearances. His OPS was much lower this year than it normally is. Normally it's above 900. It was the lowest it was from 2016 to 2019 was 932, and then this year it was 738, which would be one of the higher OPSs on the Rangers because they were so bad this year. But I don't know. Maybe the power won't be quite as big. Now he's not playing at Coors. I'm sure the numbers would go down a little bit, but that elite defense plays anywhere. And if you have a chance to go get a guy like that, for even like a moderately overpaid prospect package, you've got to go do it. And so it's looking more and more frustrating. The Rangers didn't go pull the trigger on this last year. I wonder what their best offer was, just seeing the return that it is this year. I can't imagine the price went down that much, but still, I think the Rangers definitely could have offered more than they did, and them being that close is just that much more punishing for Rangers fans. But that's going to do it for today's episode. I'll be back later on this week with an episode with Grant, and then we'll be back next week on this video format talking about who knows what? Maybe even some more stuff, some more crazy stuff will have gone down by then. But until then,